Let's begin now.
Wednesday night, beautiful evening. It's not raining. It's perfect. My voice, your ears, Grant Nicholson's fingers. You didn't think that was going to be how we started the show. That's a hell of a parlay right there, Daddy. Yeah. That just came to the brain.
That sounds good. Weird, too.
My voice, your ears, your fingers. That's what we should have named this show. The hell with After Hours. Google, I don't need a security alert every time I log into this damn computer. You think I don't know that I've just logged in? Anyway, how you doing, Kansas City? How we doing tonight?
We doing all right?
I'm trying to talk myself out of patio brews tonight, but it's getting tougher and tougher and tougher. I tell you, I almost saw a owl last night.
How did you almost see an owl?
Yeah, I don't know if it was an owl or not, but I'm pretty sure it was an owl. It swooped through my backyard, and it was gigantic. And I couldn't think of any other bird of prey that would be that gigantic flying around at the evening hours of the night. And we're talking, like, right before that storm hit. I don't know how crazy it got up here. At least some of it's a little more south. I think a little bit more north was a little bit more serious. But we lost internet. Like, I don't know, just in the middle of, like, not the middle. But yeah, it was, like, the end of the third quarter of Nuggets and Tim's second game when it was kind of a blowout, but I was more wanting to watch more Anthony Edwards, and all of a sudden, like,
nothing.
I was like, oh, what do we do now? Well, we still got some cold ones in the fridge. Let's see if they really believe this. Let's see if they really believe this storm's gonna be here or not, you know? And boy, was it. Like, right away, like, three branches cracked. I was like, okay. But I felt good about it, man. It was fun. There are no birds that fly around at night except for owls. So it had to have been an owl. I think they're probably like the top three of birds that I think are fascinating. Red-tailed falcon, number one. Those things that just sit on like phone poles in the middle of Missouri just staring out for a rat. Dude, they're awesome. You should do this sometime. Whenever you get on like, you know. Dude, look up birds of prey. It's insane.
Birds are cool.
Not all.
Okay, fine. Just birds.
Like the ones that are on top of this building that absolutely just destroy our cars and paint. Not cool. But like the birds of prey, pretty good. There's at least there was, for those of you that know what I'm talking about, at Fred Urbanus's golf course, there used to be an eagle that held its own place in this cove. Eagle, red-tailed falcon, owl. That's all I gotta say. Top three. How you doing, Kansas City? After Hours till 9 o'clock again. Grant Nicholson here. I am here as well. Fun show. Pete Sweeney will be on with us at 6:30. Obviously, there's a little bit of bad news for the Chiefs coming up. Maybe I'm overreacting to it, but first, let's talk about this Royals team. Because I got a pretty good idea, and for those of you that follow me on Twitter or X, whatever you call it, at Dusty Likens, you probably know where this conversation's going to go. But I'm going to tell you this. I think, and Grant, maybe I'm wrong. Yeah, red-tailed hawk. Hell of a bird. I want to buy binoculars, but I'm afraid somebody's going to think I'm just like peeping Tom and out there, but I'll be like, I'm looking at birds. They're like, nobody does that anymore. Trust me, I'm looking at birds. And your window. I think last night's Royals game proved to me that we're almost there, Grant. We're almost to 80% bought in, because I don't think we're there yet. And that's a topic for another segment in this show that we call After Hours. Welcome to it on 610 Sports Radio. I hope you're having a fine Wednesday afternoon. I hope you're grilling out or doing something nice outside because it's beautiful. But I think that the Royals last night's loss proved one thing to me, that the reason you're so pissed is because you're so into this team. Because if the Royals are last year's Royals, right, if they're last year's Royals, you just laugh and go to bed and you don't tweet about it. Or you have a response to this team sucks. Or why am I watching this team? None of that was the case last night. Most of it was, damn it, this hurts. Why does it hurt? Because you cares. That's why it hurt. And that's a fact. I mean, that's just what it is. Like, even I try to be as optimistic as possible. I have friends that text me and say, am I too early or am I overreacting to say that we need to make a move for a closer? Yes, it's May. Right? 22 and 16. I know. And I think that we're closer and closer and closer to getting 80% of the majority bought in. We're never going to get to 100 unless it's a playoff game. Then 100% of people would be bought in. And even still, I think it'd be like 90 because you'd have those, you know, certain curmudgeons that'd be like, I don't care. I'm not getting in. I'm not getting emotional. Not doing it. Not going to do it. And this is one of those things where those types of losses can sometimes tell you where you're at with a team. And yeah, it's bad when you see games get blown like that. Because now, if you look at the Royals' early season records or their games, you had a fumble against Baltimore, right? You had the fumble Sunday against the defending champs where you could have won that series. You could have won the rubber match. And then you had the fumble last night, which now you look at it in hindsight, it's okay because you won the series, but damn it. Sorry for cussing. But you had a chance to get a sweep of another competitive team. And that's the thing I think that also makes you feel a little bit more and more bought in with this Royals team, because you're that close, or you were that close, to knocking off some of the highest competitive teams around you, right? The Rangers are probably going to run away with the West. Well, I don't want to say running away because baseball's got a long season and that's maybe a lethargic take. But they won the World Series last year. We know that for a fact. So they're the defending champs and they're playing just fine. Baltimore, come on. They just had the player of the month. They've had some of the best draft picks in the last 5 years. And they are proving to everyone that they want to win that East and they want to compete with the Yankees. And they're a top tier team. And you were this close. But you blew a couple saves. And then Milwaukee, obviously you don't play them a lot. They're in the National League. But they're one of those teams in the Central that can tell themselves that we're playing to be at the top of this division. And when you lose heartbreaking games like that to big teams, it hurts a little bit more because you know you're almost there. And that's where the Royals are at right now. That's what I'm saying. And that's how I know that in this year's vibe, there's a little bit more of a care. Yes, last night hurt. But if it didn't, it doesn't. It means that you don't have any sort of belief or feel towards this team. And I know you do. Because even though it was kids' day at the K, and I've made the mistake of going one time, or school day at the K, I mean, it was one time. I'll never do it again. But even though it was loud, and the other thing that was wildly known was last night when there's two outs and that crowd is pumping and you're hearing the Let's Go Royals and everybody's clapping and standing. That's how I know that nobody that was in attendance at that very moment could ever lie to me for the next several weeks to say, I don't know yet. Carl, I saw you standing in row 14, section 331. You had a $9 ticket and you stayed till the ninth inning clapping your ass off. So I know it's there. And the thing that's there is because this team is showing you more. This team has a better feel. It's a team sort of vibe. Literally, if you haven't caught on yet, they do it every time if it's on TV. And I know you're not watching because you don't want to pay for the app, but I bet more and more people do because they're getting more and more interesting. And it's $20. I get it. Some of you are stubborn and that's just fine. You can always listen on the radio. I'm sure Denny would say something, or if Ryan's filling in, or Jake Eisenberg, but you know the team's bought in because every time a starter is done, there's a huddle of the starters. You know, all the starters get together and discuss what that guy went through or what that guy did, that's a team thing. The lineup, the boys are playing ball. Bobby's pushing it. And what'd your manager do today? Your manager today did exactly what your head coach for your football team in the same city does every single time somebody fumbles or falters one time. And Matty Q took his closer, who he probably didn't have any sort of thought to pitch today if the game was, you know, out of reach, which it was the time for a save, and he called on General MacArthur after blown save, back-to-back, and said, look, dude, you're my guy. Go do it. And he answered the call quickly. But you getting mad and not laughing when the Royals do this lets me believe that you're more bought in than maybe some people are leading themselves to believe. Grant, am I wrong at any point of that?
No, I think you're spot on. The reason people are angry and it's not apathy anymore is because they're buying in. Slowly but surely.
Yeah.
They are buying in.
And I don't think that we're fully to where I want to get, because I've said before, I want to get to St. Joe, first day, Saturday morning, 9 a.m. You think we're coming in with the Kansas City Chiefs, and buddy, we're not. We're talking about how the Royals regain the lead in the Central. And not one person will say, why are we not talking Chiefs? Because 80% of you will be bought in, and I won't care about the other 20%. Well, I care, but we'll talk about those people as well.
I was going to say, don't say never. There's going to be one guy who texts in and is going to be like, hey, let's talk about third string tackle.
Yeah, who's this stiff? Who's this guy? You're in St. Joe, Dusty. Don't you know that? Yeah, are you? Probably not. But thanks for letting me know where I'm at. Coming up on the other side, there was some upsetting news with a, well, wide receiver for the Chiefs. Maybe I'm overreacting, but I want to talk about it next because there's one thing you can't do, and that's you can't piss off mom and dad. That's Grant Nicholson. I'm Dusty Likens. You're listening to After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Really kind of know when you're in unison with your listening crowd. Birds of prey, you're talking my language.
A boy with a plan, a
damn right, dude.
Wearing a white Stetson hat.
What's up, Dusty? I'm from Kansas City. I live in Denver, and now that I'm not there, I can hear how our accent, by the way, you say owl. It sounds like you're saying ah. They hit a period and then an LOL. And then someone says, hey, Dusty Rhodes, they're looking good. Oh, Royals. I thought it said Rhodes. I was like, well, that's good. The Rhodes are good. Royals, yeah. And yeah, it's a red-tailed hawk, not a falcon. But it'd be awesome to own a falcon, too. I'd rather own a bird of prey than a cat. I'm dead serious about that.
You're not a cat guy?
Not really. Not the biggest. I mean, they're fine.
But, I can't stand them.
I guarantee you, you coming to my house and just sitting on the edge of my couch is a red-tailed hawk. And right when you walk in, it just squeals at you. You ain't sticking around.
I think those are, like, difficult pets. I don't think you can just have a hawk, though.
Yeah. I feel like cats are difficult pets. A cat, somebody runs into your house and your cat just sitting there, I don't know, coiled up on the couch. That guy's just going to go into your room. Boom. Gotcha. Red tail hawk, the guy's leaving the house. Not even a question. Hell, you might even scare somebody more with a parrot that talks than a cat. You ever think about what the first guy thought of when a parrot talked? Where am I? Somebody says, that guy from Colorado might just be high. Well, everybody might. Welcome to After Hours. Spot start Wednesday night. We'll be back tomorrow night for an hour and a half as the Royals are on the West Coast. So you want to talk about something? Text in. We'll let you drive the show tomorrow. 913-586-7610. Coming up in about 10 minutes, we'll get to Pete Sweeney. And then later tonight, we'll do the out of left field questions. We always do as you get these little surprise after hours. Thanks for joining in. We appreciate the time that you give us. Again, If you missed where you can find this show, you can find it on the app, the Odyssey app. Find the show, tell your friends about it. Continue to push this product, and we'll see where we're at in the next coming months. And speaking of seeing where we're going to be at in the next couple of months, how about the next couple of days? There's times in life that everybody is kind of on the same page with the reaction to a breaking news story, right? It doesn't take a rocket scientist to tell you what those stories tend to be. But we rewind the clocks back to the news of what was recently Rashee Rice and allegedly having an altercation with a cameraman at a nightclub. So, again, I expected to get roasted by the text line on this, and that's fine. And I'll ask Pete Sweeney about it here in about 9 minutes as well. But to me, the Rashee Rice situation kind of seems maybe scarier to me than it might be, but I feel like we've seen this sort of narrative before. Now, we don't have a whole lot. Information yet regarding the second incident that just was announced at the nightclub early in the morning. But we know that there's already the allegations that have come out of the car accident. All that is involved with that. We don't need to go down that road because you already know kind of everything that's been going on with that. You've probably heard enough and you're probably sick and tired of that. And there's probably still more to come. And this situation reminds me of maybe you had friends that were a little troublesome sometimes, right? And I feel like when the first incident happened with the car accident, Andy Reid, Brett Veach, in this situation, we will call that mom and dad. Hey, man, tell us what happened. Tell us why this happened. Tell us where you're at and give us an update on your current status. And then we're going to let you know what we think you should do. You with me? You follow that? That's not really a stretch. That's not really a far gone cry of what might have happened. Hey, we're disappointed. We all make mistakes, but we can learn from this. And let's just stay home, stay low, stay off the radar, stay off the grid. Just go work out with Mahomes. Go back home. Get your reps. Go back home. Just, you're going to be a marked man. They're going to see you. If you're out, they're going to know you're out. And who's to say the camera guy didn't do anything? Well, again, we don't know a whole lot of information about this story. But the thing that stings the most is that that's the scariest part. Because I can almost guarantee you that Rashee Rice is going to already miss a significant amount of games from what happened prior to the incident that was at the nightclub. James Palmer reported, Nate Taylor had said, don't be surprised if it's 8 to 10 games. Don't be surprised if Goodell makes a point with this. And before he's even announced suspended, he gets into another scuffle or another hiccup happens. And it's not that it's minor. And I had somebody attack me on Twitter and say, oh, Dusty, Devontae Adams did the same thing. Was he in a car accident 3 weeks prior to that that had a bunch of people pressing charges and injuries and all that sort of thing? No, he wasn't. And this is one of those things where you have now, in my opinion, have probably pissed off mom and dad. And that's a bad place to be, especially with an organization that is trying to set the golden standard, right? We want to win 3 in a row. We have something that nobody else has, and we cherish it. And if we're going to keep it and we're going to have it, we got to have a strict guideline and strict rules. As soon as Tyreek Hill went to Miami, he hasn't stopped talking. But you rarely heard him in Kansas City. Am I wrong? And you can even, and some have, compared this a little bit to the Kareem Hunt situation. Now, it's a different sort of thing, right? Kareem Hunt lied to Brett Veach and Andy Reid. We believe that to be true. And then they said, oh, we got more information that you didn't tell us. Good riddance, goodbye, good luck, au revoir, vaya con Dios. I only said that because I have a George Strait shirt on. And The only thing that scares me is that there was probably a conversation with Andy Reid and Brett Veach and Rasheed Rice where it was, hey, man, don't let this sort of thing happen again. Stay out of trouble. Let's get to training camp. We'll talk. We'll wait for the suspension that we probably know is going to happen. You're probably going to lose, you know, some playing time in the game of the season because the games are going to, sorry, the league's going to get you. It is what it is. But we can minimize that. If we can stay good and we can stay chill and do our job and stay out of trouble, then you can maybe kind of have a side to say, hey, I don't think it should be 10. It should be 7. But now you've done the worst possible thing you could have done. You put yourself back out there in a situation that is out of the team's control. And like we had mentioned before, you'd already done something wrong. You're a marked man. You're a Super Bowl champion. You were a big part of that run. You're very well known. However you want to do it. And I'm telling you this, man. When you piss off mom and dad, they don't treat it lightly. And if you're, and this is the thing, Grant, he's got to be completely, totally honest to every detail of what happened in this allegation or this alleged allegation in the nightclub on Monday morning, early hours. Otherwise, I am in fear that he misses a full season because of a suspension from the NFL. And then at that point, Veach and Andy say, hey, man, good luck, good riddance, see you later. I think we can have that sort of opinion at this point because it happened so close together and it's the same person. And you know they had a conversation with him.
Well, we don't know the severity of this incident.
True.
It may not have been anything. He may have just shoved the guy, hey, get out of my way. I'm trying to do my own thing. And
right.
This guy's trying to blow it out of proportion. But, you know, there's that tingle in the back of your brain that kind of says, you know, fool me once, fool me twice situation here. So
yeah.
We hope it's not that for sure.
And the other thing that it makes me nervous is that I feel like the altercation doesn't necessarily have to be severe. It's the fact that you still put yourself out there after they probably told you, stay home. Just don't go anywhere where you could possibly be in a situation. So whether he shoved him, whether he punched him, whether he tripped him, he kicked him, whatever. What are you doing? Why are you out at 2 o'clock in the morning or midnight? Why are you even out?
Couldn't have played 2K. There's no NBA games on to watch.
Right. I don't care what you do. Stay home. Hey, buddy, we got a table. We got girls. We got what? Come on out. Nah, man. There's a good chance I could make a lot of money in this league and win a lot of games and be one of the guest things. But guess what? You just can't do that. And that's what scares me is that I don't know how much severity there needs to be in the allegation. I am in fear. I am in fear that not only is he going to miss a full season, but a possibility that he could no longer be a Kansas City Chief. We'll talk to Pete Sweeney on the other side. Thank you for listening. We call this program After Hours. You hear it on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Wednesday night here on After Hours. It's a spot start, but it's still my guy coming in the clutch, Pete Sweeney. Always around because there's always Chiefs news, good or bad, but I'm glad that you're always able to pick up the phone and give your boy a little bit of time like you did tonight on this Wednesday night.
Yeah, no problem. I think usually in Kansas City, people are already ready to just talk about the Chiefs and forget about that other team, but I'm finding ourselves closer and closer to you leading off a topic in St. Joe with the Kansas City Royals. How are you feeling about that?
Dude, I love it. I love calling my shot. Obviously, I've missed before several times, but maybe not with the Royals so far. I've kind of been even so far on certain Royals takes, and it's fun to watch, man. It really is, and I really hope that when we get into St. Joe and it's the first live on-air after hours start of Season 3, we're both rocking a mustache. And that's a deal that you just committed to. And then we get to talk about these Royals, and then we'll talk about the Chiefs secondly in St. Joe. But most importantly, Pete, it's not always rainbows and butterflies, right? And we get the news out of Dallas that Rasheed Rice, obviously we already know how his offseason has gone. Not good. Not great. We get this news of he allegedly assaulted a cameraman in a nightclub approximately around the hours of the early morning, anywhere after midnight to 2 a.m. or so is what we've seen. Still awaiting news from the team of how it's going to go. But, man, Pete, like, this just let's just call what it is. You can't do this sort of stuff, right?
No, yeah. I want to remind people that when it comes to the initial incident, we do have a lot of information on that. I mean, there is still more to come with the street racing thing. This is pretty new in these past few days. It does seem like there was some kind of altercation, but we only know that there's more information to come. I think the thing that is bothering people, and I get it, is when you make a mistake initially in the off season that became quite public, you would think the natural thing to do would be quote unquote lay low, and apparently just mixed up in the wrong type of situation again. But there's a lot we don't know right now. Like I said, I mean, I think I could kind of tell you what I was feeling before this incident. We haven't really got complete clarity on what happened, what was late Sunday night into Monday morning, other than these reports out of Dallas, Texas.
I don't want to be like total doom and gloom, but the thing that's the scariest to me is that my head is in and thought is going towards a process of, I don't really care what the level of assault is. And I know people came after me on Twitter like, dude, Davante Adams literally did the same thing. Davante Adams wasn't already in hot water. I mean, boiling water, right, with his organization. And to me, Pete, this seems like, and you know me, metaphors, analogies, kind of my forte. This is to me kind of like when, you get in trouble with your parents, and I'm going to use Andy Reid and Brett Veach as your parents, right? They're going to tell you, yeah, Hey, man, what you did was bad. You can't do that kind of stuff. You're grounded. You got to learn your lesson. And then as a kid, you break out of the house and you get caught trespassing or something. You get another, maybe it's not as serious as your previous offense, but it's like the moral of the story is you didn't listen to anybody and you didn't do what was best for you. And not only that, you didn't do what's best for the team. So when we bring this back to the Kansas City Chiefs, what does that say for a guy under Brett Veach and Andy Reid? And we've seen this before. When you don't listen to mom and dad, it ain't good for you. And I know that we were already looking down the barrel of a possible 10-game suspension that we heard from James Palmer. You add this to it, it looks like he doesn't listen to Goodell either. He doesn't take that sort of thing lightly. Pete, I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the entire season, and I'm going to jump even further, and you can call me crazy. I know the text line hates me for this. Would you be surprised if Brett Veach and Andy Reid were like, look, kid, it ain't working out for us. Good luck in the future, but you're no longer a Chief.
Yeah, I mean, it's a lot to unpack, and there's no doubting that right now. I mean, I think what everyone wishes that is involved here is that none of these incidents had to take place in the offseason. But here we are. Seems like they did, especially the first one. Like I said, we have much more clarity on that first thing. And now here's another incident that pops up. It's definitely not news the Chiefs wanted to hear. I know that we've seen this in Kansas City, as you mentioned, with Kareem Hunt eventually was released and landed with the Browns after a suspension and embarrassment for the NFL. And being around the team, having covered that, this was in my early years covering the Chiefs. I think the big thing in that particular situation is just the fact that Andy Reid, we were talking about St. Joe, on the initial day of St. Joe, will always tell these guys, the quickest way out of here is to not be honest with me when stuff like this happens. And so a big part of this is stuff we're never going to be privy of. Like, what are the conversations like right now with the Rashee Rice, with the rest of the organization? How are the conversations going with Brett Veach? How are the conversations going with Andy Reid, when Andy Reid, I'm sure, inevitably is calling Rashee to ask what's going on? Is he being completely honest? If you remember, Kareem Hunt wasn't released when the incident happened the night after. He was released much, much later when video surfaced and probably told the Chiefs nothing happened, and it seems like something did happen. And so I think that's a big part of it. Now, when it comes to the suspension, I think, and we can disagree on things, Dusty, I think you're exaggerating a little bit, probably past the point. Like, I still think even with this new incident, I don't think we're anywhere near the full season. I know that James Palmer had put out half a season, and how people were preparing for that. I don't know how accurate necessarily that is. You know, the NFL is kind of on their own way about these types of things. And I'm not sure the team, even before this incident, after the first one, had any idea of what type of suspension. I'll go back to Charles Amenihu. Completely different situation. Not really comparing situations, just the matter of suspension. The Chiefs weren't expecting six games. And so I know a lot of people are like, well, this is now definitely going to be six, eight games. Who knows the whole season? I mean, the NFL might surprise you the other way and come back and say, look, a bad offseason, pretty embarrassing for us. We're going to give them four games, or maybe it's six games. You know, that's kind of what I expect, something in the 4 to 6 games range even still. Again, not a lot of things that we know about this second situation, not exactly what you want to see. Could it get to the Kareem Hunt point? Sure. Could it get to a full season suspension? Sure. But I tend to think he's still with the team, and I tend to think it's less.
Either way, the sun's going to rise tomorrow in the east and set in the west is what somebody once formally told me in an email. I can tell you that story eventually in our lifetime. It's quite hilarious. But let's talk about the sunny side of things. At least the receiver room. I mean, obviously, Rashee Rice was going to be a massive part of this receiver room, but at least you can lean a little bit more knowing that this receiver room is a little ahead of where it was last year going into the season as this team gears up for a three-peat.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Hollywood Brown is a huge addition. You know, I think if you didn't have that, if they were going into the season with what they had last year, you'd be a little bit worried about that initial schedule. I mean, we've seen now, after this last year, the Chiefs didn't win the one seed. They didn't win the two seed. They had to go on the road for most of the playoffs to get back to the Super Bowl. You don't want that scenario again, and it comes down to what could be 1 to 2 to 3 games. You know, we saw that with Chris Jones. He skips a game. They lose. You know, now they're in a worse playoff position. And so, yeah, I mean, I do think it is a non-zero amount of games that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended, but you have Xavier Worthy, right? You have Hollywood Brown. I know he's not a popular name always, but they feel pretty good about what Justin Watson offers them, just as far as knowing the playbook. And then they have a very, very deep receiver room when it comes to the depth. I know that there, again, are unpopular names like a Kadarius Toney, like a Sky Moore. There's popular names like Justin Ross. I know that they've added some undrafted free agents. I know that Nico Remigio is coming back, for another example of somebody that'll be in the mix there. And so, could they lose Rashee Rice for the season? And, you know, you feel good about it? Probably not. But is it manageable for whatever the amount of games is? Again, I tend to still think it's in the 4 to 6 range. I think you can get out of that stretch and still be okay, yeah.
And again, we're talking to the chief editor of your number one source of all Chiefs information, Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Joining us here on After Hours on a spot start on a Wednesday night. You'll love to see it. We'll be back tomorrow night. Little half show, right? Little half show because then the Royals are on the West Coast.
Hey, look at how topical I am. Just call me Daniel Lynch. You know what I'm saying?
You're a spot. See, okay. We call the show a spot start, but if you want to take the chime and the fame, that's fine. I'm always a humble guy to that, you know? Pete, let's have a conversation about what's happened towards kind of like a wraparound. Maybe it was kind of not as focused upon, as you had mentioned prior, that the Royals are pretty popular right now. The rookie minicamp, what kind of really stood out there from what you could see, and how's Reese Lightning look out there on a football pitch?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I actually, for the first time, had to miss the Saturday and Sunday portion, so I only caught one day.
All right, next question. I'm kidding.
Old grad school friend of mine happened to be getting married, and you know, I decided that, well, it's not the NFL draft, it's just rookie minicamp. So I missed those first few days. But I talked to some of my colleagues, and I got to actually watch the practice on Monday. And Xavier Worthy's fast, and I know he had a rough first day from what I was seeing from afar. Looked to be in better spirits and looked to be playing a little bit better by the time I got there on Monday. Really impressed with Jared Wiley. Wiley, to me, stood out. I really think this is somebody that is going to be locked in. I mean, this is obvious, but the locked in tight end 3 for this team. And I'm really interested about those 13 personnel looks that Andy Reid likes to draw up. I mean, I think this is a much more dynamic pass catcher than what was Blake Bell. And so certainly an upgrade there. And you could see that there's these battles going on amongst the other positions, much more of a passing camp than the offensive line. But I know that the Chiefs are really high on Kingsley and what he brings to the table, really like the character and the player that he is. And so we'll see what comes of it. I like that these guys got in front of the media, kind of got that out of the way. Starting to really realize what it means to be a pro. That's what the rookie minicamp is all about. And now it's the big question is when the OTAs start, how much will they retain? Andy Reid made note of that. And so the bigger test is yet to come for sure.
As we gear up as camp, I mean, you think about it, you look at your calendar, man. We're already like almost to mid-May. We got April, May. April's done. We're mid-May. We got June, and then July is right there. And then we're both presenting the world again with mustaches and content. But Pete, what's a pre-bold prediction of a competitive group going into camp this year? Is it the running backs? Is it a safety group? Is it a cornerbacks group? Whatever you want to tell me, what's your pre-take of what could be a competitive group to watch going into St. Joe this offseason?
So I'm going to go a little bit unique here, and I know that everyone is kind of zoned in on what will be the left tackle battle. I mean,
Wednesday night here on After Hours. It's a spot start, but it's still my guy coming in the clutch, Pete Sweeney. Always around because there's always Chiefs news, good or bad, but I'm glad that you're always able to pick up the phone and give your boy a little bit of time like you did tonight on this Wednesday night.
Yeah, no problem. I think usually in Kansas City, people are already ready to just talk about the Chiefs and forget about that other team. But I'm finding ourselves closer and closer to you leading off a topic in St. Joe with the Kansas City Royals. How are you feeling about that?
Dude, I love it. I love calling my shot. Obviously, I've missed before several times, but maybe not with the Royals so far. I've kind of been even so far on certain Royals takes. And, it's fun to watch, man. It really is. And I really hope that when we get into St. Joe and it's the first live on-air after hours start of Season 3, we're both rocking a mustache. And that's a deal that you just committed to. And then we get to talk about these Royals, and then we'll talk about the Chiefs secondly in St. Joe. But most importantly, Pete, it's not always rainbows and butterflies, right? And we get the news out of Dallas that Rashee Rice, obviously we already know how his offseason has gone. Not good. Not great. We get this news of he allegedly assaulted a cameraman in a nightclub approximately around the hours of the early morning, anywhere after midnight to 2 a.m. or so is what we've seen. Still awaiting news from the team of how it's going to go. But, man, Pete, like, this just let's just call what it is. You can't do this sort of stuff, right?
No, yeah. I want to remind people that when it comes to the initial incident, we do have a lot of information on that. I mean, there is still more to come with the street racing thing. This is pretty new in these past few days. It does seem like there was some kind of altercation, but we only know that there's more information to come. I think the thing that is bothering people, and I get it, is when you make a mistake initially in the offseason that became quite public, you would think the natural thing to do would be quote-unquote lay low, and apparently, just mixed up in the wrong type of situation again. But there's a lot we don't know right now. Like I said, I mean, I think I could kind of tell you what I was feeling before this incident. We haven't really got complete clarity on what happened, what was late Sunday night into Monday morning, other than these reports out of Dallas, Texas.
I don't want to be like total doom and gloom, but the thing that's the scariest to me is that my head is in and thought is going towards a process of I don't really care what the level of assault is. And I know people came after me on Twitter like, dude, Davante Adams literally did the same thing. Davante Adams wasn't already in hot water. I mean, boiling water, right, with his organization. And to me, Pete, this seems like, and you know me, metaphors, analogies, kind of my forte. This is to me kind of like when you get in trouble with your parents, and I'm going to use Andy Reid and Brett Veach as your parents, right? They're going to tell you, hey, man, what you did was bad. You can't do that kind of stuff. You're grounded. You got to learn your lesson. And then as a kid, you break out of the house and you get caught trespassing or something. You get another, maybe it's not as serious as your previous offense, but it's like the moral of the story is you didn't listen to anybody. And you didn't do what was best for you. And not only that, you didn't do what's best for the team. So when we bring this back to the Kansas City Chiefs, what does that say for a guy under Brett Veach and Andy Reid? And we've seen this before. When you don't listen to mom and dad, it ain't good for you. And I know that we were already looking down the barrel of a possible 10-game suspension that we heard from James Palmer. You add this to it. It looks like he doesn't listen to Goodell either. He doesn't take that sort of thing lightly. P,
Pete, I wouldn't be surprised if he's out for the entire season, and I'm going to jump even further, and you can call me crazy, and I know the text line hates me for this. Would you be surprised if Brett Veach and Andy Reid were like, look, kid, it ain't working out for us. Good luck in the future, but you're no longer a Chief.
Yeah. I mean, it's a lot to unpack, and there's no doubting that right now. I mean, I think what everyone wishes that is involved here is that none of these incidents had to take place in the offseason. But here we are. Seems like they did, especially the first one. Like I said, we have much more clarity on that first thing. And now here's another incident that pops up. It's definitely not news the Chiefs wanted to hear. You know, I know that we've seen this in Kansas City, as you mentioned, with Kareem Hunt eventually was released, landed with the Browns after a suspension and embarrassment for the NFL. And being around the team, having covered that, this was in my early years covering the Chiefs. I think the big thing in that particular situation is just the fact that Andy Reid, we were talking about St. Joe, on the initial day of St. Joe, will always tell these guys, the quickest way out of here is to not be honest with me when stuff like this happens. And so a big part of this is stuff we're never going to be privy of. Like, what are the conversations like right now with the Rashee Rice, with the rest of the organization? You know, how are the conversations going with Brett Veach? How are the conversations going with Andy Reid, when Andy Reid, I'm sure, inevitably is calling Rashee to ask what's going on? Is he being completely honest? You know, if you remember, Kareem Hunt wasn't released when the incident happened the night after. He was released much, much later when video surfaced and probably told the Chiefs nothing happened, and it seems like something did happen. And so I think that's a big part of it. Now, when it comes to the suspension, I think, and we can disagree on things, Dusty, I think you're exaggerating, you know, a little bit probably past the point. Like, I still think even with this new incident, I don't think we're anywhere near the full season. I know that James Palmer had put out half a season, and how people were preparing for that. I don't know how accurate necessarily that is. You know, the NFL is kind of on their own way about these types of things. And I'm not sure the team, even before this incident, after the first one, had any idea of what type of suspension. I'll go back to Charles Omeniyi. Completely different situation. Not really comparing situations, just the matter of suspension. The Chiefs weren't expecting six games. And so I know a lot of people are like, well, this is now definitely going to be six, eight games. Who knows the whole season? I mean, the NFL might surprise you the other way and come back and say, look, a bad offseason, pretty embarrassing for us. We're going to give them four games, or maybe it's six games. You know, that's kind of what I expect, something in the 4 to 6 games range even still. Again, not a lot of things that we know about this second situation, not exactly what you want to see. Could it get to the Kareem Hunt point? Sure. Could it get to a full season suspension? Sure. But I tend to think he's still with the team, and I tend to think it's less.
Either way, the sun's going to rise tomorrow in the east and set in the west is what somebody once formally told me in an email. I can tell you that story eventually in our lifetime. It's quite hilarious. But let's talk about the sunny side of things. At least the receiver room. I mean, obviously, Rashee Rice was going to be a massive part of this receiver room, but at least you can lean a little bit more knowing that this receiver room is a little ahead of where it was last year going into the season as this team gears up for a three-peat.
Oh, without a doubt. Yeah, without a doubt. Hollywood Brown is a huge addition. You know, I think if you didn't have that, if they were going into the season with what they had last year, you'd be a little bit worried about that initial schedule. I mean, we've seen now, after this last year, the Chiefs didn't win the one seed. They didn't win the two seed. They had to go on the road for most of the playoffs to get back to the Super Bowl. You don't want that scenario again, and it comes down to what could be 1 to 2 to 3 games. You know, we saw that with Chris Jones. He skips a game, they lose. You know, now they're in a worse playoff position. And so, yeah, I mean, I do think it is a non-zero amount of games that Rashee Rice is going to be suspended, but you have Xavier Worthy, right? You have Hollywood Brown. I know he's not a popular name always, but they feel pretty good about what Justin Watson offers them, just as far as knowing the playbook. And then they have a very, very deep receiver room when it comes to the depth. I know that there, again, are unpopular names like a Kadarius Toney, like a Sky Moore. There's popular names like Justin Ross. I know that they've added some undrafted free agents. I know that Nico Remigio is coming back, for another example of somebody that'll be in the mix there. And so, could they lose Rashee Rice for this season and, you know, you feel good about it? Probably not. But is it manageable for whatever the amount of games is? Again, I tend to still think it's in the 4-6 range. I think you can get out of that stretch and still be okay, yeah.
And again, we're talking to the chief editor of your number one source of all Chiefs information, Arrowhead Pride, Pete Sweeney. Joining us here on After Hours on a spot start on a Wednesday night. You'll love to see it. We'll be back tomorrow night. A little half show, because then the Royals are on the West Coast.
Look at how topical I am. Just call me Daniel Lynch. You know what I'm saying?
You're a spot. See, okay. We call the show a spot start, but if you want to take the chime and the fame, that's fine. I'm always a humble guy to that, you know? Pete, let's have a conversation about what's happened towards kind of like a wraparound. Maybe it was kind of not as focused upon, as you had mentioned prior, that the Royals are pretty popular right now. The rookie minicamp, what kind of really stood out there from what you could see, and how's Reese Lightning look out there on a football pitch?
Yeah, I'm not going to lie to you guys. I actually, for the first time, had to miss the Saturday and Sunday portion, so I only caught one day.
All right, next question. I'm kidding.
Old grad school friend of mine happened to be getting married, and you know, I decided that, well, it's not the NFL draft, it's just rookie minicamp. So I missed those first few days. But I talked to some of my colleagues, and I got to actually watch the practice on Monday. And Xavier Worthy's fast, and I know he had a rough first day from what I was seeing from afar. Looked to be in better spirits and looked to be playing a little bit better by the time I got there on Monday. Really impressed with Jared Wiley. Wiley, to me, stood out. I really think this is somebody that is going to be locked in. I mean, this is obvious, but the locked-in tight end 3 for this team, and I'm really interested about those 13 personnel looks that Andy Reid likes to draw up. I mean, I think this is a much more dynamic pass catcher than what was Blake Bell, and so certainly an upgrade there. And you could see that there's these battles going on amongst the other positions, much more of a passing camp than the offensive line, but I know that the Chiefs are really high on Kingsley and what he brings to the table, really like the character and the player that he is, and so we'll see what comes of it. I like that these guys got in front of the media, kind of got that out of the way. Starting to really realize what it means to be a pro. That's what the rookie minicamp is all about. And now the big question is, when the OTAs start, how much will they retain? Andy Reid made note of that. And so the bigger test is yet to come for sure.
As we gear up as camp, I mean, you think about it, you look at your calendar, man. We're already like almost to mid-May. We got April, May. April's done. We're mid-May. We got June, and then July is right there. And then we're both presenting the world again with mustaches and content. But Pete, what's a pre bold prediction of a competitive group going into camp this year? Is it the running backs? Is it a safety group? Is it a cornerbacks group? Whatever you want to tell me. What's your pre take of what could be a competitive group to watch going into St. Joe this offseason?
So I'm going to go a little bit unique here, and I know that everyone is kind of zoned in on what will be the left tackle battle. I mean, I think that's the biggest battle at camp. I already alluded to it. I think the back end of the wide receiver room is interesting. We know that the Chiefs have brought in a lot of defensive backs, so we will see how that shakes out. Again, I know everyone is going to be watching what will be Wanya Morris and Kingsley Suamatia for that left tackle position. But another big, sneaky one-on-one battle that I think we should brace ourselves for is this punt return, or I should say punter battle. Remember, Tommy Townsend is now a member of the Houston Texans. Matt Araiza, the punt god, is with the Chiefs. We know about some of that off-the-field stuff, but they also brought in Ryan Retko, and we talked about rookie minicamp. They liked what they saw from him at rookie minicamp. So we went from Dustin Colquitt to Tommy Townsend. And now there, I think, it's going to be a legitimate punter battle to see who the next starter at punter is. So a lot of times you're probably bracing yourselves for autographs in special teams period, but Dave Tobe is going to be a watchful eye trying to figure out who's going to be the best possible punter for the team.
Pete, give me good news. I put 2 units down on -4.5 on the New York Knicks tonight back in the Garden versus Indiana. we're gonna be okay with those Knickerbockers tonight?
They gave me quite a scare. They're going to have to be sharper. I think tonight I'm a little bit worried about it, but hey, I'll tell you what. I have both my teams. Again, no teams in Missouri, so I can't get flack for this. I have the New York Rangers and the New York Knicks in the playoffs. Didn't think the Rangers would win last night, and they found a way to pull it out. So I tend to think the Knicks will start faster. I think they realized the challenge ahead with the Pacers, and they're going to have to come out a little bit sharper. And so we'll look for that. Also, don't forget this. See, we got the Wells Fargo. You want 2 picks there?
I haven't looked too much into it yet. I'll do that tomorrow morning.
Because I'm just
– I'll give you
– I'm glad Scotty's not playing. That means somebody else is going to win.
My favorite that I like, Xander Schauffele. I feel like this is somebody who hasn't been able to close.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this scenario plays into, okay, as you were mentioning, no Scotty. Everybody's got to be feeling a little bit better about that, right? Mm-hmm. The Tiger Woods of the moment is not there. And then I'll give you a little bit of a long shot here.
Okay.
Happened to like this guy won a few weeks ago, Ace Bhatia.
Ooh.
Plus to throw a dart. I think this is somebody who, when he locks in, he could stick with the best of them, like Rory and Wyndham and all those guys. So, Schauffele and Bhatia, my two picks for the Wells Fargo.
Those are like two final spelling bee last names you got to get to make the championship round, just to, those two names. But, hey, Pete, you continue to enjoy your late spring and getting ready to coast into the summer, and then next thing you know, we'll see each other in St. Joe. I appreciate the time, and go Knicks tonight, my man.
Yeah, mustache is up. See you later.
Later.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Final segment here, the 6 o'clock hour here at After Hours. Dusty Likens with you and Grant Nicholson as well. Like I said, let me be the voice, you be the ears, and Grant will be the fingers. Here on a Wednesday afternoon, or I guess a Wednesday evening, and it's starting to get calmer out there. So I know a lot of you are almost home or already home, but hopefully you're tuned in and having a good time. We got Micah in Denver listening in, others as well. And you just heard the sweet sounds of Pete Sweeney, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride, my good friend. You could have also heard this sweet sound earlier on the radio today.
Fastball punch toward left field. Melendez darts to his right, cuts it off on the backhand. He fires toward home. Dunn rounds the bag. Here's the throw. Vermeen's tag. In time, they got him. MJ Melendez throws out the potential tying run at the plate.
Big play. Big player. Love to see it. And the Royals topics that we like to bring up here are a little bit more outside of, oh man, Bobby Witt Jr., he's really good. Cole Reagans, he's an ace. No, this is now a team that you're starting to see more and more of because you're watching more and more. And my question is quite simply of outside of the Stars, who has you currently kind of your side guy? Right? Like you watch The Office. You know who Michael Scott is. That's everybody's favorite character, or it's Dwight. Who's the next guy? Or it's Jim. Were you Team Ryan? Right? Were you a Pam fan? Maybe you were a Meredith fan like me. Loved Meredith. Loved her style. Just how it rolled. But I find myself going another layer lower and saying, who do I find myself being like, you know what, I'm keeping my eye on this guy because I want it to really work out. And I find myself with two guys, MJ Melendez and Michael Massey. And a lot of people have attacked me, and it's fine, of why I root for Michael Massey. Because he's a flat-out bona fide stud, in my opinion, and I'm just waiting for it to just bloom. And maybe it's starting to, with all this rain that was poured down on Michael Massey, and now all of a sudden the April showers are bringing out the May flower. It's a really, really bad sort of segue there. But you get what I'm saying. And Michael Massey continues to kind of give you that little bit of, okay, my guy Massey's up. I want to watch this. And MJ's in that realm because you know me, Grant. I'm a man of style. I like a guy with a good amount of riz. And MJ Melendez just looks like he should be a badass. Right? The chain game is off the charts. The dress before he comes into games is out of control. He's sexy. And his game attire is what I think a lot of people look at and you're like, you know what? If I could create a player on MLB The Show, he looks something similar to that because that's cool. And if you can add that sort of pizzazz and have the gameplay of MJ Melendez equal a little bit of that, you can start finding those side guys or those side characters that you root for outside of the major celebrities and Bobby Witt Jr., Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, Seth Lugo, Salvador Perez. And I find myself rooting a lot for Michael Massey and MJ Melendez.
I think those are like if you got main characters, those are the supporting characters pretty easily already.
Right.
Like, they get second billing because Massey's been incredible. I mean, he kind of saved their offense. Not really, but when he entered the lineup, it gave them like kind of a jolt when some people had kind of cooled off. You can't just rely on Bobby and Salvi all year long. You're going to need guys like Massey to show up. And you're right, dude. MJ just looks cool.
His drip is insane. I mean,
he's just the coolest guy out there.
He's got, like, the hairs there. He's always got some sort of shades on. His glove is cool. His outfit is great. And his, you know, you see MJ Melendez, and if you didn't know anything about baseball, and you didn't know any stat line, and they had a lineup of players, you'd be like, that guy's good, isn't he? You're like, well, here's the thing. He should be, and I get where your head's at, but yes, this is the guy that, and he's got all of that. And we've seen, like, little spurts of MJ. And I heard Josh Vernier say today on his postgame show that you can hear after every Royals game on 610 Sports Radio that MJ Melendez might be the second-best left fielder in the American League. And MJ Melendez has everything that you would want a Royals team to be successful with. He's got defense now in left. He's got speed enough. So he plays defense, and he can run. And if you can just sprinkle in a little bit more consistency with that bat, and you know when that bat's hot, that ball bounces. I mean, it got Cody Tapp to cuss. And you don't really see that a whole lot. He hasn't had one song that comes with a parental advisory. And the last time MJ Melendez had an absolute tank shot, Cody dropped the F-bomb. Sorry for cussing. Coming up next, if you missed it this morning, and we had Royals programming, so you missed a lot of afternoon programming, Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, your Kansas City Chiefs, joined Bob and Josh on Fesco in the morning. I want to play you that interview in its entirety because he's the GM that you all trust with this team to go win a three-peat. We'll play that interview coming up on the other side. Listen after hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.
Final segment here, the 6 o'clock hour here on After Hours. Dusty Likens with you and Grant Nicholson as well. Like I said, let me be the voice, you be the ears, and Grant will be the fingers. Here on a Wednesday afternoon, or I guess a Wednesday evening, and it's starting to get calmer out there. So I know a lot of you are almost home or already home, but hopefully you're tuned in and having a good time. We got Micah in Denver listening in. Others as well. And you just heard the sweet sounds of Pete Sweeney, chief editor of Arrowhead Pride, my good friend. You could have also heard this sweet sound earlier on the radio today.
Fastball punch toward left field. Melendez darts to his right, cuts it off on the backhand. He fires toward home. Dunn rounds the bag. Here's the throw. Fermin's tag. In time. They got him. MJ Melendez throws out the potential tying run at the plate.
Big play. Big player. Love to see it. And the Royals topics that we like to bring up here are a little bit more outside of, oh man, Bobby Witt Jr., he's really good. Cole Reagans, he's an ace. No, this is now a team that you're starting to see more and more of because you're watching more and more. And my question is quite simply of outside of the stars, who has you currently kind of your side guy? Right? Like you watch The Office. You know who Michael Scott is. That's everybody's favorite character, or it's Dwight. Who's the next guy? Or it's Jim. Were you Team Ryan? Right? Were you a Pam fan? Maybe you were a Meredith fan like me. Loved Meredith. Loved her style. Just how it rolled. But I find myself going another layer lower and saying, who do I find myself being like, you know what, I'm keeping my eye on this guy because I want it to really work out. And I find myself with two guys, MJ Melendez and Michael Massey. And a lot of people have attacked me, and it's fine, of why I root for Michael Massey. Because he's a flat-out bona fide stud, in my opinion, and I'm just waiting for it to just bloom. And maybe it's starting to, with all this rain that was poured down on Michael Massey. And now all of a sudden, the April showers are bringing out the May flower. It's a really, really bad sort of segue there. But you get what I'm saying. And Michael Massey continues to kind of give you that little bit of, okay, my guy Massey's up. I want to watch this. And MJ's in that realm because you know me, Grant. I'm a man of style. I like a guy with a good amount of riz. And MJ Melendez just looks like he should be a badass. Right? The chain game is off the charts. The dress before he comes into games is out of control. He's sexy. And his game attire is what I think a lot of people look at and you're like, you know what? If I could create a player on MLB The Show, he looks something similar to that because that's cool. And if you can add that sort of pizzazz and have the gameplay of MJ Melendez equal a little bit of that, you can start finding those side guys or those side characters that you root for outside of the major celebrities and Bobby Witt Jr., Cole Reagans, Brady Singer, Seth Lugo, Salvador Perez. And I find myself rooting a lot for Michael Massey and MJ Melendez.
I think those are like, if you got main characters, those are the supporting characters pretty easily already.
Right.
Like they get second billing because Massey's been incredible. I mean, he kind of saved their offense. Not really, but when he entered the lineup, it gave them a kind of a jolt when some people kind of cooled off. You can't just rely on Bobby and Salvi all year long. You're going to need guys like Massey to show up. And you're right, dude. MJ just looks cool.
His drip is insane.
I mean, he's just the coolest guy out there.
He's got, like, the hairs there. He's always got some sort of shades on. His glove is cool. His outfit is great. And his, you know, you see MJ Melendez, and if you didn't know anything about baseball, and you didn't know any stat line, and they had a lineup of players, you'd be like, that guy's good, isn't he? And you're like, well, here's the thing. He should be, and I get where your head's at. But yes, this is the guy that and he's got all of that. And we've seen like little spurts of MJ. And I heard Josh Vernier say today on his postgame show that you can hear after every Royals game on 610 Sports Radio that MJ Melendez might be the second best left fielder in the American League. And MJ Melendez has everything that you would want a Royals team to be successful with. He's got defense now and left. He's got speed enough. So he plays defense and he can run. And if you can just sprinkle in a little bit more consistency with that bat, and you know when that bat's hot, that ball bounces. I mean, it got Cody Tapp to cuss. And you don't really see that a whole lot. He hasn't had one song that comes with a parental advisory. And the last time MJ Melendez had an absolute tank shot, Cody dropped the F-bomb. Sorry for cussing. Coming up next, if you missed it this morning, and we had Royals programming, so you missed a lot of afternoon programming, Brett Veach, the general manager of the Kansas City Chiefs, your Kansas City Chiefs, joined Bob and Josh on Fesco in the morning. I want to play you that interview in its entirety because he's the GM that you all trust with this team to go win a three-peat. We'll play that interview coming up on the other side. Listen After Hours on 610 Sports Radio.
You're listening to After Hours with Dusty Likens on 610 Sports Radio and the Odyssey app. Brought to you by Twin Peaks. Eats, drinks, scenic views.